Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Hey everybody in After Rot Land, this is Zombie Zach again, and I have a guest today. His name is Charles Day, and he's brought along his jester. Hi, Charles.
Hey everybody, how's it going out there in video land and radio land?
I got one first question to start up with on. What's up with the jester?
Well, right now he's out and about, so he should be back soon. He went out for the hunt.
What's he hunting?
He tends to go out for a late night morsel snack. I don't know what it is, but whenever he comes back, he seems pretty satiated. You know, he seems content. And but he should be doing soon. But yeah, no, he's just been keeping us his jesterly crew pretty busy lately.
Excellent. And what kind of jester is he? I mean, where does he come from?
Oh, the evil jester. He comes from I guess it started my imagination, but many years ago I had to come up with your quote unquote icon to add a little face to what you type to the right in like those forums. There used to be like these LaFora forums and for small press publishers. So I grabbed an icon to, be part of the crowd in there, and I grabbed this little jester. Little did I know that he was going to be my muse, my alter ego, my best friend over the years. But, he was just something that, when I was on the small press looking to, sell a story to into an anthology and stuff, that's what I used.
Isn't it great having an icon, a sort of alter ego, that sort of image that you can throw out there that says, hey, I can also be that and this other guy who's doing business-like stuff over here.
Exactly. I just never knew, a lot of people will pick things and then they'll change and they'll pick other things. He just stuck with me from day one. I just never changed his the icon. He just grew with me. Next thing I know, we would have fun chatting on the forums, talking about if our story's going to be accepted. And then I'd throw in antics. I'd have the evil jester talking. So it was just something fun. And, some people tell me, oh, Charlie branded that little guy now. He's part of you. And I said, well, it's not it was not my original intent. It was just something that happened, So.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I look at a lot of big business stuff as well, because it's the world, the way I absorb information is I read everything around me, and people are kind of screwed to thinking, why, how the hell do you get all that information? It's like, well, I have multiple screens and I read stuff, and you can learn a lot in the world.
It's true.
They do that. They bring something that says an identification, an identity towards whatever product it is you're selling, and says, hey, look, it's a happy, funny thing.
That's true.
So the publishing company you're with, that you have, that you own, that's yours, what's it called?
Evil Jester Press.
Good name. Because it has a jester and it's evil.
Yes.
So,
it does.
What's that company like right now? I mean, how big?
Well,
what are you into?
Well, we're in our second year. Heading towards the end of our second year here, and we're real excited. We've just acquired a bunch more books, novels that are going to be published this year. Pete Giglio is our executive editor, chief in charge over there. He's working now. We have a new acquisitions editor, Shannon Michaels, who's working under Pete's wings and helping him out tremendously. Experience in in editing and movies and all that. And she's great. I mean, perfect pick to help grow our business. But, we're just continuing to go forward, publishing quality fiction. We're building our reputation, with our readership and our authors. We just you know, great place to get your books published. And we our products sell. We're selling on books.
And what kind of
be proud of?
Sorry, what kind of formats are you focusing on? Horror, fantasy, science fiction, e-gads, Harlequin romances?
Yeah, exactly. Lovely Jester Press. Doing romance? No. Not yet. No. Pete keeps telling me no, never. But I know. But predominantly horror. But Pete, if Pete reads something that, you know, that has a horror element to it, or Shannon reads something and she loves it, it may not necessarily be completely horror. If it's dark fiction or it has an element of horror in it, it's their choice. I don't make the selections there. It's them. They pushed me out. No, I'm kidding. They didn't push me. No, I'm just really busy. I'm busy over in Evil Jester Comics, which I know, is another thing. But Evil Jester Press was started, with myself and Pete, and Pete took over, and I trust him 100%. He's just doing a tremendous job over there. Support, basically.
Sorry, do you have the two things then as separate entities, the Evil Jester Press and then Evil Jester Comics? Is that like two parallel running operations going on?
Yeah. They're two separate, but at the same time that they're under one, Jester's lid. Everybody, both of them are in the Jester's box. Both of them are owned by the Jester, and
see, you're starting to live your own analogies.
I told you, but it's just what it is. Actually, it's a great thing because we have authors from Evil Jester Press that are jumping over and doing comics with us, and then we've got people that are in the comics that are going to be doing stuff with Evil Jester Press. So it's you're one and the same, but we're separate. You want to get a good comic, you got to come to Evil Jester Comics. You want to get a great novel, you got to go to Evil Jester Press.
Awesome. So what would you say some of the challenges are being a publisher nowadays exist? I mean, it's a new world I wouldn't say it's new, but definitely the world for publishing has been evolving over the last few years. What do you think some of the bigger challenges you have being a fairly recent publisher in there, and B, trying to grow?
Yeah, the challenges. Challenges are with us every month. Obviously, the first and foremost is sales. You want to be able to, bring back. You invest a certain amount of money in book covers and formatting and paying authors royalties, and you want to be able to get your initial profit back. So there's always that you have to consider, you always want to get that bestseller. I mean, we were fortunate enough to get our bestseller was Joe McKinney's Inheritance novel. It sold well over 2,000 copies
awesome.
In a month. Yeah, that was awesome.
But I heard good things about that one.
Yeah. And we want to, we want to continue to do that with a lot of our other books too. So that's a challenge because you want to grow and you want to, reach out to more readers. And stepping into doing comics is even a bigger challenge because it costs a lot of money. And I went into it as a passion. I just wanted to start doing comics, and once I got in, there was no way I was getting out. I was just too excited. Things were doing so well. People were coming on board. Authors were willing to contribute stories. Artists were ready to do some drawings. So I said, I'm sticking with this. And of course I love reading comics, so I'm looking forward to everything there. But the big challenge is what may cost a couple hundred dollars to do a novel can cost thousands of dollars to produce a comic. And I'm talking about a real comic. I'm not talking about, grabbing two kids and doing stick figures. And I'm talking about getting world-class artists, the right people on board to illustrate and color and ink. And just to pay them semi-professional rates is expensive. Professional rates, you're talking hundreds of dollars a page.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And are you doing it in the multi comic format where one person is writing the idea, another person is inking it out or sketching it, then inking it out, another person's doing the coloring and then all that stuff, or is it the what I've been seeing in other comic books, the more trend of creator driven comic where it's one guy is my idea, my art, my writing, blah, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, Telegram is our editor-in-chief, and I am very, very, very fortunate to have him on board, just as Pete knows, and everyone knows how I feel about Pete. Very fortunate to have found Pete, who is, you know, is perfect for the business. But Taylor is our guy over at Evil Jester Comics, and him and I have some great ideas. You know, of course, creator. We want creator-owned comics. I want to do one myself eventually. I mean, I've got ideas too. Getting back to your question, the way Taylor and I are going forward with the comics is, right now we only have one, and that's our Evil Jester Presents.
Which is an anthology-based type comic series, right?
Exactly. So what we're doing is we're bringing in, different artists. Like, for instance, Jack Ketchum's Polaroids. We've had Kurt Belcher was the guy that did the inking. I forgot his name offhand. Well, but there was a gentleman. No, if I can remember it. But he did the pencils. We have. You know, an artist do the coloring. Then we had David Hayes do the script to Jack's, and Jack was the author. So you have a whole bunch of people in just that, you know, 3-page, 4-page comic, short story. So we're doing, you know, and Richard Clark is, he's done a lot of great work as an artist. He's just finished up working with Grant Morrison in The Happy from Image Comics, which I recommend for every comic book reader out there to read. It was great. Only 5 issues, but it was tremendous. It was awesome. But Richard Clark did the coloring in there, and we've got him doing the full. Now here's an example. He's doing everything from nuts to bolts here. He's going to pencil it, ink it, color it, and then we'll get someone to letter it for the gift. Short
cool.
story about the origin of the Evil Jester, which was written by me, and I'm going to do my best to script it, and then Taylor's going to look it over and fine tune it. Because Taylor's got, you know, years of experience in script writing. But who better than myself, since I wrote the story, to at least make the attempt to see it visually on panels, you know?
Especially as an origin story. And then it
yes.
can be the jump-off for other stories that blend out in the future and stuff.
Sure. So, yeah, answer to your thing is we're doing a combination of everything. Now, when we eventually go into, creator-owned, like say we, you know, you came up with a great idea and we wanted to run 5 issues on that and see how well it goes, well then you would be the author on that, the writer, and then we would possibly assign just one artist on that, or you know what, like some of those comics are doing now, the second book we could have a new artist come in, third book we can have the same artist again, the fourth one we could bring in a new artist, you know, so you know, I don't know, those are things we just don't know yet, but it's
cool.
exciting.
So it's a, hey, let's figure it out, and then, okay, we'll get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Now, I saw some of the, sample artwork and stuff that you posted online for, like, the... now you've made me forget what it was. Dang
Jack
it.
Ketchum's? We had Jack Ketchum's on, yeah?
Yeah, the one with the eye?
Oh, yeah, that's Jim Chambers.
Yeah, and, I love the artwork on that one.
And Jason Whitley, yeah. That's... Yeah, he's phenomenal. In fact, I have the book. They did a novel too that was based off some of their. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, Jason Whitley was the artist.
Cool.
On that, and he's such a great artist. We want him to do more.
Yeah,
with
such clean pencils there. It's like, okay, this is great sketch work. It's like you don't need to color it. You get really good artists who can do really good black and white. It's like that works.
You know, We're thinking about that. We're thinking about possibly leaving that black and white. Absolutely.
Yeah, because
it's done. It's done.
Bernie Wrightson's work was awesome that way.
Are you talking about is that the guy who did the Frankenstein Alive?
Yes.
With Niles?
Yes.
Oh, I know. I got I can't find the first issue. You have the first issue?
Well,
the second.
Actually, the book I picked up recently was Frankenstein, the actual Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, with his artwork in the panels throughout, cover, and it's all hardcover. It's a beautiful book.
Nice.
And his older work, like with Swamp Thing and everything else, like, it's like you can't beat what his artwork is. And he, speaking of anthology-based comic books, I was going to mention a quick thing about, like, Tales from the Crypt, Eerie and Creepy and stuff.
Yep.
What do you think of them? I mean, obviously you've got some memories of those types of story
Oh,
anthologies.
yeah. My favorite was the one where the guy's being pulled down by the zombie. That's my favorite cover on the Tales of the Crypt or something like Tales or whatever it was. But yeah, no, I grew up. I don't have any of the originals. I have reprints, but yeah, those old DC comics. I love them because I grew up. My father was into all of those, and I remember when I was a kid, you know, going into his comic books and reading, you know, all his stuff. He was really into that. I think that's how I got started. Because I was really young. I must have been like 7, 8, because my father, you know, unfortunately, he left us when we were 11. I've never seen him since. But he had all these comics down in his radio, his CB radio room. And I used to, you know, it used to be that musty smell of those comics. And I'd open them up and I'd read them. And that's where it came from. And I just loved looking at those comics. So, yeah, there were Tales, A Vault of Horrors, Tales from the Crypt, you know, Tales of the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
Good
got me
clean
into
stuff.
it. Yeah, excellent
Well,
stuff.
not necessarily clean, but fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So that's what we want to do. We want to bring back, you know, we want to bring back that type of horror. You know, I'm not knocking any of the other horror comics that are out there, but we want to be a little different, and we just want to bring that, you know, that love for horror comics back in our own way. And the Evil Jester is going to be, you know, he's going to introduce stories. He's going to be the new, you know, he's going to be our creepy guy. And because a lot of people like the Jester, they really they've got an attachment to him. They think he's cool. They think he's, you know, happening. And
it's neat and quirky.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we want to get him in there. We want to get him in there.
Cool. So another big combination between old school publishing and new school publishing, ebooks versus print editions. There's a whole large discussion, macro, microscope versions of that discussion going on everywhere in the world about the pros and cons of one versus the other and how, joint combinations work better and, I don't like printed copies and stuff. What do you think is going on with that?
Well, even before I say anything, I'll always be the guy that loves the print book. If I have a choice at night, daytime, whenever, between reading something on a Kindle or grabbing a book off my shelf, I prefer the book. I just love, and you know, I love to take the book with me to work and sneak some reading in. I'm a paperback, you know, hardcover book type of guy. But
me too.
I know, but we're in the new times, and even Jester Press, as many of the other small press publishers. We are selling more, tons more ebooks than we are print books, and it's just a fact. It's cheaper, it's easier, it's convenient, it's instant. Now with comics, Taylor Grant again is very knowledgeable in this area, and I'm learning more as we go on. In fact, I just found out that we're going to eventually, you know, when you know, again with funding and capital, I have to build capital into this business because it's a very expensive business, comics. It's nothing
yep.
like it's. That's why, you know, when I'm pledging a Kickstarter, I'm not doing it because I want to, you know, take a trip to Paris. I mean, I want to build this business up. I want to bring in authors. We have a ton of horror writers that want to show their stuff in, you know, in comic medium, and I want to be there. You know, they'll make us a success, and they'll be a success. But what was I getting at? Yeah, yeah. So it costs money, but you know what's cool, man? This is what they call motion comics now.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, it's so freaking awesome. And I'm so hooked on it already. And I don't even own the device yet to watch it, but I've seen it on my laptop.
Have you read the Red Sun?
No.
Superman. Are you familiar with Superman comics, the Elseworlds series?
No, I'm more of a Marvel guy.
Okay, well, I'm going to get into that question line later, but there's one series about
yeah, okay.
Superman where what happens if he had landed instead of in America, in Russia, and became Superman
okay.
of Russia. So Red Sun is one of the early motion comics done after, I think, the Watchmen sort of started pioneering the Black Pirate stories and stuff like that.
But isn't it cool to watch, you know, you put on your speakers, you know, and you know, surround sound. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like watching not quite an animated movie, but not also quite an audible book. And bam, you've got some entertainment going on. It's like, oh, look, I can think and do stuff.
And you know what else I saw that we're going to do eventually? Because we want to do that down the road with our comics, series, authors and stuff. Because if we can grow and we can produce more cattle, we can do all these things. I want to, I saw this on a Kickstarter. This guy, it's not patents, but it was a great idea. Check this out. You're on your, you're looking at your comic book, you know, on digital. You start, you can tap and go back to the original pencils, tap, go to the ink, tap. Go to the color. So you can actually, each page, you can see how it was originally drawn. Just for, you know, for us artist geeks. That,
yeah,
myself,
like the special features in movies.
From, yeah, because I mean, I'm a budding artist. I mean, I did draw my whole life, but you know, I took it seriously in the 90s and did some college, you know, a class or two in art. But now I'm taking it really seriously as I'm, you know, getting older here because, you know, life is short. But, I appreciate, because I know how hard it is, especially for myself, to start out with the pencils and then get to the inks. So when you can see someone that, you know, does that and how meticulous it looks at each level, I appreciate that and I want to see it. So we're going to try and get that in comics too. Cause so my answer to you is we're going to do both print and digital.
Cool.
Comics. Yes.
Now, do you see, because I watch Marvel Comics and I watch DC Comics and I watch all the rest of them doing their stuff, and what I see with DC and Marvel is now they're releasing all of their issues in parallel. So as it's released in print, it's released in digital as well. And the thing I'm seeing is that I expect and suspect that both DC and Marvel will eventually get rid of the mass market versions of the print editions and stick to just digital, and then just keep printed editions for ultra collectors. Premium prices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but limited production, which will make them much more valuable.
And what will happen to our famous comic book stores are the ones where we love to go inside and just spend time staring and oozing and drooling and walking out, spending $20-$30 on comics. What's going to happen to those comic book stores if everything goes digital?
I do have an answer to that, but I'm going to leave to you to answer. When the last time you walked into a comic book store, what did you see more of, comic books or stuff?
Yeah, it's funny because the comic book store that I frequent the most in Smithtown here on Texas, I live in New York on Long Island. when you first walk in, you've got a lot of Todd McFarlane, fallen toys. You've got all these toys and action figures. Then to your left, you got all these, you know, the awesome, you know, statues and stuff.
Love the statues.
Comics are all the way in the back.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
So the ones that are going to survive and continue are the ones that evolve and grow with the times and adapt and shift and continue to say, we embrace comics. At the same time, we embrace your geekdom because that's what's actually selling the comics.
Okay.
Well, that would be my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But you know what? When I as I go towards the back and I see all the beautiful comics and everything, I'll tell you there's one thing that I think will help keep comics afloat and growing is that a lot of small indie comic publishers now are growing as fast as small press novel publishers were growing and still growing, because now there's so much more opportunity with all the digital software out there. To be able to produce comic pages right on your computer. You don't have to sit at home anymore. You can do a lot. I mean, trust me, I'm learning how to manipulate a lot of art.
Yeah, it's
digital.
It's like movie making too. I mean, if you really wanted to make a movie, you could take your iPhone, go out, find a bunch of people, put a script together, bam, you could put together a movie in a couple of days and publish it yourself. So you can do the same thing with comics.
And there's some great publishers, small press, independent comic publishers that are growing and, you know, doing animated films now. They just got Zetascope is my favorite independent small comic book publisher right now. I've got like 5 different series of books from them, and they got great art. They got great artists.
What was the name of that company again?
Zetascope.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah. Is that how you call it? Zetascope?
Yeah, they're
Zetascope Entertainment.
Yes. Yep. I love them. They're one of my favorite publishers right now.
I know,
talk about
too.
Them all the time.
You see? And you're not I'm telling you, everyone's picking up on it. They got beautiful hot ladies, which is good. Yeah. But they also have great comics, and they got some scary stuff, and they're just jumping into some good horror stuff now too. I don't know if you know about the new series that they're starting in April, where they're Unleashed, where they're going to have these, they're going to unleash a horde of zombies in a world, a horde of vampires, a horde of aliens, something like that. They're going to have a whole bunch of different things, and they're going to run five separate comics for each one of these horde of zombies and all that. And it's going to be the Unleashed series by this one alien dominator that's going to try and destroy the world. I think it's a great, great, great idea, and I think they're going to do great with it.
Did you ever read their series called The Waking?
No. I've been reading. I'm a big fan of writer Pat Shand, who lives out here locally on the island with me. And I was so excited when he signed some comics for me when I went to the Comic-Con. I'm such a geek, too. But
if you get the opportunity, read the series The Waking. It's like four issues the first series, four issues the second series. And it takes the zombie trope and it changes it around a bit.
Okay.
Where... they're not just a zombie horde. They're actually an arm of vengeance for somebody.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
The Waking.
Okay, The Waking. All right, I'm going to write that down. Okay, The Waking. Oh, you're going to get me hooked on another series now?
It's just a short series. It doesn't keep on going. It's a little bit and then a little bit and then it's done. But yeah, the one thing I liked about ZineScope is that what they've done is they've got their Grim Fairy Tales long-running series, which is now exploding out into the Tales of Neverland, the Tales of Alice in Wonderland, the Tales of Myst, the Tales of a couple of Hell Dimensions, and they're warping it all into one great big world where they can keep spinning off simple stories that keep going through different areas.
I know. I'm reading the Grimm Universe.
Yep.
I'm reading Robin Hood. I'm reading, I also read some of the Sleepy Hollow.
Yep.
And Pat Shand's a great writer too. Great writer. And their artwork, they've got some great, great artists.
Yeah, I've always loved their cover artwork. They've started getting Greg Horn in some of the covers as well. It's like, that is awesome. Pat Shand, he's doing the Wonderland series. Good. I read that one. So yeah, they're also doing the Wonderland Down the Rabbit Hole, and I see your guy Pat Shand is doing that one. It's like, that one I'll definitely be picking up.
Yeah. I know. And then there's other small press indie comics that I'm starting to get interested in too. Big Dog Inc.
Yep. They did that one series, Penny for Your Soul. I love that one.
Yep. So, we're brand new, you know what I mean? But, ZineScope, I'm calling them ZineScope. What are they called?
ZineScope.
ZineScope. Okay, I'm going to get in trouble telling them, ZineScope.
They but, don't worry about it. I called them that as well when I first met them at the one convention.
Okay. So, they got an animated series going now. So, we're going to be doing a lot of things too, and we hope that, we'll be able to do a lot more that'll help, help build our business at the same time, entertain our readers, and help fund out, bring in authors and pay them and get them, excited, because I know there's a lot of us, horror writers in the community that just want to write for comics.
Absolutely.
They've always wanted to, but it's so hard to break in.
Definitely. I mean, you have to know the right people, be at the right place, have the right story, the right pitch, and it's like, I just want to publish.
No, me too. That's what I feel. So, we're going to have a lot of opportunities for people, and we just, but of course, we have to be, we have to find the, stuff that's sellable. We're not going to, do puppies from space. You know what I mean? We've got to get some good
That would
cheer.
Sell, though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here, being both a writer and a publisher, how much do you feel that one escapes from the other? I mean, you've got stories that you were publishing as well for your own writing stuff. Do you think it balances?
Well, you know what it's going to do for me? Because I'm sorry, but I'm like so into this now. The Pumpkin Thief, Legend of the Pumpkin Thief. I'm excited it's nominated for a Bram Stoker this year as a first novelist.
Awesome. Congrats.
It is my first novel. I haven't written anything else. I mean, it's my first novel. But I definitely see it as a comic. Call me a geek, because I love drawing, but yeah, it's going to be a comic one day.
Awesome.
same thing with The Ghoulish Bartender, because The Adventures of Kyle McGirt spans a trilogy. the first book is coming out next, either later this month or next month, and it's got monsters in it. It's got gunslinging. It's got, you know, it's got some great stuff, and it's a solid storyline that you know, slowly develops with a young Kyle. So it's young adult novel, but trilogy. But I can see it in comic. It's like, you know what, you know, when you read all these comics and you just know, it's like, I could see this in comic. So I'm writing now with the hope that a lot of my stuff will eventually go into comic form too. I love writing young adult, which kind of helps because, you know, I can get really creative with that and not get too grisly, I guess. I don't know, that's me. But yeah, no, I want to do that and I want to continue writing. I mean, I'm almost done with Well, Family. I got about 30,000 words left on that.
Cool.
It's a young adult, and I'll say it. Yes, it's a vampire.
They don't sparkle, do they?
You know what? I was told you have to say it sometimes because you lose 20 million fans if you don't. But I wouldn't say it sparkles, but it's got some romance in it because it's a young guy and a girl.
I don't really have a problem with the romance stuff. It's just the sparkles.
Yeah. It's not just going to be googly googly. It's got some rough. It's rough around the edges.
Yeah, life does stuff.
It's brutal. Yeah, exactly. But it's set up in it's set in a university campus. It's Ryan's first year, and he meets Cassie, who's a young girl. But he soon finds out that, you know, her brother's a vampire, and she's got issues with him because he's trying to take over the family, and he's not keeping it a secret anymore. He's out there causing trouble, and she wants to stop that because if not, he's going to bring attention to the family that's held this secret for so long. And obviously he's in college and he's got his, you know, his little gang of, you know, guys that, you know, are following him. So it's going to be like this big thing. Will Ryan be able to take this guy out? You know what I mean? That type of story. So it's going to be cool.
Sounds like intrigue and people and stuff.
Yeah. And stuff. Exactly.
Stuff. Stuff. Got to leave the stuff unmentioned because then it's the excitement of reading and discovering the stuff themselves.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, no, I like writing too. Yeah, you know.
Well, that leads me on to the next series of questions about writing, is how do you get your head wrapped around a story? Do you plot it out or do you pants it out? And I love that expression, by the way, plot or pants.
Exactly. Yeah, and I know what you mean with that. I plot it out. I'm fortunate. I'm also paying a lot of money to be under the professional wings of international best-selling author Joe Nassis in a one-year writing coach program, but he's taught me a lot of things I never knew. And yes, plotting is one of those things. Because I used to go in cold all the time. Now I'm plotting, so I've already got, put it this way, I've already got over 100 index cards done for my middle grade novel, which is horror, called Summer Camp. But I just haven't gone past chapter 5, and I won't go near that until I finish my family first. But yeah, I plotted out. I'll use index cards. He taught me, and I think it's a great idea. I tried it, and I love it, because now at least I know, okay, these are all the scenes. I may not use all those scenes, but at least I can follow it. You know what I mean?
Yep. And do you find when you're trying to play with a couple of stories at the same time, do you find yourself getting a little bit of bleed out from one story into the other, or is that why you are staying away from the horror story while you finish up with the YA story?
Yeah, I got to stay away from it. I tried. It doesn't work for me.
Oh, yeah?
I can't. Yeah, no, because then I get, I have to 100% immerse myself now in a little family to finish it. I can see everything till the end. I've written down what, you know, this, where I'm going to the end. If I go over to summer camp and start playing around with that, I'm going to forget where it was at. I just can't do it. I can multitask. People know I'm a great multitasker. I have a kid. I cook. I work a day job. I run a publishing company. I do comics. But when it comes to my writing, I have to be structured with just one at a time.
Cool. So how much of your real-life interactions end up in your stories then? I mean, you're obviously surrounded by things and events and occurrences. You meet people. It's like, hey, that guy is, like, really annoying. I'm going to take a version of him and kill him. That sort of thing.
Yeah. I've always I spent 25 years working in the mental health field. I'm still employed. I spent 12 years locked up on a psych unit as an employee. But, yeah, I've got my share of, you know, I got my share of experiences with people. So I don't have problems with building characters. And I've always gone up watching movies and reading comics. And so I've got the imagination and the mind to create characters. I love creating characters. But I don't normally have to pick them out of a lot of, like, for instance, Pumpkin Thief. Pretty much the whole story was written about my life and my friends growing up and doing crazy stuff during Halloween, you know, knocking on the neighbor's door, running and hiding, you know, throwing eggs at the high school kids when we were junior high and getting chased and almost beat up. Those kind of things. That's all in the book.
Did you enjoy the movie Trick or Treat?
Oh, I loved it.
Great movie.
Yeah, I loved it. Yes, yes, I loved it.
I hope they do the sequel on that sometime soon, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know. It was great. Yeah, so then the only thing that, you know, we didn't have growing up was the pumpkin thief. That was the supernatural element I put in there. So stealing pumpkins.
Nice. So,
yeah.
And with the writing, do you work in a specific environment? Do you sit, you have a little special room or something like that? Do you use the whole, hey, I got to have the right ambience in the room and work with that? Or do you just, I'm writing now, let's go?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, because, you know, the way it is in my house with my daughter and everything else, I have to find the time to write. So when it happens, I just sit down. It's either in the living room or the dining room or my makeshift office. If, you know, if I'm working in my day job, I usually can only write during my lunch breaks, or, you know, if I'm in between a field visit or something and I have a few minutes to type something or write it down on paper. I've been doing longhand a lot lately too, because it's a good way to, you know, get some ideas down, you know, or a quick couple paragraphs and then convert it onto the computer later.
So do you find that it consumes you when you're thinking about it? It's like, I'm working on something. Oh, wait, this would be a great idea, thought passage for blah, 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 blah. Okay, now I'm back to work. Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what, you know, exactly. I write ideas, thoughts down to, yeah. Like, you know, I was working on a scene and then something new came to mind, and I jotted it down. And when I went back, I started to go with that scene, you know, that added scene, you know, like Ryan and Cashier in the pizza restaurant. And I was just going to have them hang out there and then go back to the campus. But then all of a sudden I said, no, you know, Sean, her brother's going to come popping in and cause some trouble. And I just started the scene and started writing at it, you know.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So I've mentioned it before, and I mentioned it to everyone when I'm talking about stuff. I jump all over the place. So I'm going back to comics.
Okay.
Because the show is about zombies and comics and whatever the hell else I feel like talking about. So In the comics industry, we've got DC, we've got Marvel, and we've got other. Where do you ever think yourself, you'll find yourself to be?
We definitely will be in the other. I mean, Marvel and DC are the... They're like the Simon and Schuster of the publishing industry. But
the evil overlords?
Yeah. No, we wanted to build an evil jester empire, you know, open up a little spot in Disney World where we can have some, you know, evil jester roller coaster rides and stuff. No, I'm kidding. We just want to be able to, grow and make some great comics. Where we wound up, we're not even worried about that. As long as we can, you know, entertain, you know, our readers and grow with our authors, we'll be fine. I think that will drive us to where we should be. Will we be up with Image and Dark Horse one day? And yeah, sure, that's what we aspire to be, you know? Absolutely, why not?
Cool. Yeah, well, see, I always go on about the DC and Marvel thing, because everybody, when you say comic books, everybody thinks, oh, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, oh, X-Men, Captain America, Avengers, like, yeah, those are all great comics. But there's also a crap load of other stuff, too.
I know.
Like, one of my favorite comics, I don't know if you're familiar with, it's called Chew.
No.
Oh, you want to get access to a real... And this will be one that I will highly recommend as an ongoing series to check out. Premise of the story is about a guy who... He's a detective, but he has a special ability. When he eats something... He can see an image set of about what that was.
Yes, I saw that somewhere.
Awesome comic book.
I don't know if I picked it up in the comic book store and looked it over, but I've seen it somewhere. That is an awesome, yes.
I've been collecting that since it came out. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome writing.
It is, and you recommend it?
I highly recommend it. It's a very stylistic kind of artwork, but it's an awesome book.
Okay, definitely. No, I'm always open to reading stuff. I mean, I'm almost finished with the Joe Hill's Lock and Key, the final Clockwork, you know, the 5 issues, and that's it. It's done. So I'll be open for new stuff.
Cool.
I'm always looking. Good, cool.
Well, you'll always be able to hear suggestions from me because I read a crap ton of comic books all the time.
How do you find the time? I mean, you know, everything else.
I'm a fast reader.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that was a comic I finished reading. Did I enjoy it? Yes, let me check. Yeah, I know I enjoyed that one.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing.
I know.
It's the same
like little
thing.
They're like little mini movies. I know.
Exactly.
Have you seen the new Django Unchained? I mean, I know a lot of times, you know, movies to comics don't do well, but I like it.
I haven't seen it yet myself, no.
Yeah, I like it. And Quentin Tarantino, I didn't realize he's such a lover of comics. He wrote a whole one-page thing in the collector's first issue about how he was so excited with his 2 hours of extra material that he couldn't use in the movie that now he could span in his series on the comic. And I was like, you know what? That is awesome.
And that is cool.
I mean, and I am a big fan of Quentin, so of course I, you know, had the comic. But
he's like a very big geek. You can see that.
Yes. Didn't you like that when he raised his Oscar and said, this is the year for all the writers?
Yeah, you know, that was awesome.
Writers, screenwriters, novels, yes.
Yeah.
Great guy.
So, floppies or trade paperbacks? Individual issues or trade paperbacks?
I like both, really.
Okay.
But, yeah, trade paperbacks. Yeah, I like trade paperbacks.
Okay, because I find there's been, over the last few years, a shift from individual issues to trade paperbacks, simply because it's cheaper and easier to read a whole story that spans 8 issues in one book, as opposed to waiting 8 months for individual issues?
Yeah, no, in comics, I like the individuals, because I like cliffhangers. I'm sorry, I was thinking novels and stuff.
Oh, okay. No, sorry, that's cool. Yeah, I collect the individual issues myself. I pick up the occasional trade, because I don't feel like buying that. Oh, but that's a good story, I'll read that.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm the same way. I like the individual issues.
Yeah, I like, you know, just enough to whet your appetite, and then you're like, oh, damn. Can't wait for issue 2 to come out, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite artist or a favorite author in comics?
In comics? Right now? Well, you know, if I go with just right now, like Pat Chand, I really like his writing. You know, but I've always been a Grant Morrison fan, and I like Steve Niles' work, and artists. I mean, my favorite artist growing up was Jack Kirby, without a doubt.
Oh, man, dude, I like you more.
I just loved it, the way he did his inks and stuff. You could always tell a Jack Kirby comic.
Yes.
Just look at the cover, you knew right away. Even if you just did the cover, you would know right away it was a Jack Kirby cover.
Yep. And you can tell when somebody's imitating his artwork and saying, I wanted to be Jack Kirby too. It's like, yep, you're doing exactly what Jack Kirby used to do. It's awesome.
Yep. So, yeah, but I mean, there's so many artists out there now. I mean, of course, I love Richard Clark's work. And I saw his new one. He did something that before. Actually, he's going to start working in April on the gift for us. But prior to that, he was finishing up something with Dark Horse. And he was doing the artwork. And, oh, man. It was just, I forgot the name of the comic. But I'd say I'm a big fan of his right now, too. So.
Cool. And seeing as how this is a zombie show, are you into the zombies at all?
I love zombies. The Walking Dead, I'm totally hooked on that.
The comic book or the TV series or both?
I got hooked on the TV series first. Now I'm starting to read some of the comics, yep.
Are you okay? So then you're a perfect example for a next series question about The Walking Dead. So you've watched the TV series, you love that, right?
Yeah, I do, really, especially the good owner.
Now, have you read the comic books up to about the same point in the TV series, or are you still a little below?
I don't even know where I'm at. I just picked up a couple a while ago and started reading from them, but I'm not from the beginning. I'm lost. There's all different types of Walking Deads, series that are out there. You know, like, you know, I don't know where to begin. I need you to help me.
Okay. Well, I would highly recommend picking up either the omnibus or the trade paperbacks. It's a little cheaper to get that way because you're not going to find issue number one for anything less than a couple hundred dollars.
Okay.
But the series of the comic book, very widely divergent. Sorry, not widely divergent, but it takes some good changes and different. I like both, by the way. I like both the comic book and the TV series because they're aimed at different mediums.
Okay.
So the governor that you see in the TV, he's a nice guy compared to the governor in the comic book.
I know, I know. The governor in the comic book's a motorcycle type guy. And I know.
He's one bad son of a gun.
Uh-huh.
And I just saw last week's episode a little while ago, and I saw hints of the governor in the comic book finally on the TV show. I was like, oh, that's just going to be nasty.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? The governor's really starting to show his true colors now. I know, I know. He's dangerous. He's very dangerous.
He's psychotic, man.
Yeah.
So, with the zombies, are you a fan better, more of fast or slow, shamblers or sprinters, that sort of thing?
You know, when I first saw the first one I saw with the running zombies, you know, the remake of Dawn of the Dead, was it, right?
Awesome.
Right? Wasn't that the one where they were running?
In the mall?
Yes. Original Dawn of the Dead, yeah. Yeah, exactly, but there was a remake where, you know, she's running out of the house and all of a sudden she gets in the car and all these zombies are running. Yeah, I'm a fan of both, but I'm scared of the running ones more than I am of the the slow ones, because the slow ones I feel like get away from. The ones that are running, oh my God, you don't want them running after you like that. Oh, you won't have time to protect yourself. They'll come from all directions and rip you apart.
It's funny that you mentioned Dawn of the Dead, because just a couple of weeks ago I was interviewing one of the ladies who was one of the actresses in that movie, the remake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kim Poirier.
Oh, cool.
She played the one girl that got chopped up with the chainsaw in the bus.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's I love that movie. I really love the remake on that because I swear to God, they filmed it in my backyard. I used to live in an area that had, it was close to where they did filming, and they did it in Brant, and I used to live in Mississauga. So all of the yards and all of the front yards look exactly the same.
I know. It was a cookie cutter type neighborhood.
Yep. Yeah, it was freaky. I watched it. It's like, oh my God!
Some people didn't like that remake. I thought it was really, really good. You know, I thought it was really good. I liked the original. I did like the original in the mall and everything, but I thought this one was just as good.
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be people who can't see that it's a different thing. It's like you wonder, hey, what happens if we did this instead of that? And then you're reimagining an entire new scene. So I had, when I posted that online a little while ago, that I was watching the movie over again, people was like, yeah, I didn't like the remake because it didn't have the same soul. It's like, well, that's because it's a different movie.
I was a huge fan of Orville. From?
Of who?
Do you know Orville? Orville? The zombie Orville? Orville? Mm-hmm.
Rings a bell.
Children shouldn't play with dead things.
Dude! Canadian movie.
Yeah.
One of the wildest, scariest, creepiest, bad type horror movies.
It was very cheesy when I seen it a couple years ago, but when I was young
and
I saw it, I was freaked out when he went up to into the attic and he closed the door, he forgot he had Orville he kept playing with and messing around with. And all of a sudden he just rises from that bed and I was like, oh my God, this is it, man. It was a great movie. It was great.
Yeah.
First time.
They capture that fear and they capture everything else about that. That's awesome. What about, people who listen to the show also know that I watch a wide variety of zombie movies. What about foreign film zombie versions? I mean, there's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I've seen some of them. I just may not know the names of them because I have Netflix and I sometimes when I go to the library even, I'll go independent films. Now I'm a big fan of independent films in general too, but I just may not remember. You have to shoot a couple of names titles to me.
There's the French one called La Horde.
No.
Oh, you might want to check that one out. There's all the Japanese ones that are crazy stuff. Hell Driver, Attack Girl Swim Team versus the Undead. Oh my God! What
I'm writing them down.
Oh, there's so many. I can't just spit them out.
Yeah.
There's a Spanish one that just came out a little while ago. It's called Juan of the Dead.
Juan of the Dead?
Juan
okay.
of the Dead. Right. It's supposed to be amusing.
Okay.
Most of the...
I saw Shaun of the Dead. That was good. Shaun of the Dead was
Shaun
good.
Of the Dead is awesome.
Yeah.
British and all. Yeah. Proper.
Yep.
We speak proper English. You've got a bit of red on you there, mate.
That reminds me. I don't know where I've seen it. I don't know if it's coming through Vertigo or another small. Well, Vertigo isn't small, but it was they're doing something in Britain and they're mixing zombies and vampires for a comic series. Oh man, I wish I had. I may have it one of these comics here. The advertising, but that looks really cool too. I'm shifting from what you. Doing too, but I just thought about it when we're talking about farm in Britain.
Random is as random does.
I know. Well, I'll let you know, but it's definitely zombies and vampires together walking around in Britain.
Nice.
Oh,
everybody's favorite monstery type things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You have mentioned earlier that you also do artwork yourself. And what do you consider your motivations for trying to create the imagery? I mean, are you working with the script in your head when you create artwork? Or are you just, oh crap, now I got a story from based on something I just saw in my head that I put on page?
Yeah, no. What I do is before I got all my digital software, I was doing, just on, sketch and paper and stuff and inking and colors and stuff. But you know how it is, you make messes on colors and you have to, I get frustrated and I have to crumble up the paper. But I just like drawing monsters and stuff. I just come up with ideas. Sometimes I'll look at something and look at it and draw my own image yet, but sometimes I'll need to visually see something to draw from, I don't trace, but I have to sometimes look at things to get an idea. Like the Django Unchained, I'm looking at the front cover. Oh, my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
I want to draw a Western guy. Well, I'll copy the hat, but I'm going to come up with my own, figure.
Because
hats are hard to draw, But what I've been doing is it's weird because now that I have novels out that I'm doing, I want to draw the characters. So I've been doing it on my Facebook. I've been getting some people that have been kind of following me, and I think it's cool. So they kind of been motivating me to do more. So what I did was I did a bunch of characters, and I'm getting better and better at it with the digital software. Because you still have to draw it, and I still draw it on my tablet. And then once I have it drawn, I can manipulate and play and add and stretch lines. But I'll take characters from Kyle McGirt. I've drawn some of the characters, the Dark Riders. I've got the gang of them kind of drawn. Even though I got to fix it, I'm not the greatest artist, but I'm getting better with time and I'm practicing.
Practice makes perfect.
So, exactly. And I will. I'll keep going at it until I can't lift the pencil anymore. But with the Pumpkin Thief and now Immortal Family, I drew the girl. I drew Cassie. I saw her in my head. I was like, you know what? I got to draw her. She's young. She's goth looking. She's cool. She got short hair. And I just drew her, And she's not goth looking yet. I just drew her. Because it's hard. It's hard to, I just got the basics down. I drew the image of her. I do want to go back and kind of like change it and make her lips kind of darker and,
And
but hey, you know what I mean? That's how I do it.
Do you know, you're familiar with Frank Frazetta, right?
Frank Frazetta. Sounds
artist,
familiar.
Classical fantasy artist. Basically speaking, during the 60s, 70s, 80s, if you wanted to see a fantasy cover, it was probably either Frazetta, Vallejo, or a couple of other guys. But Frank Frazetta was always the chicks with the big boobs and the guys with the big swords and pecs.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
Didn't know the
artwork.
Name. I do know. Yeah, I know. But the artwork, I remember that growing up.
Well, he had a thing where he'd paint the paint. Like, he'd do the painting, da-da-da-da, and then a little while later says, I don't like the way that is. I got to fix that. And would come back and try and repaint part of the image and fix it up. Do you ever find yourself feeling that way about some of the artwork you do?
Oh, God, man. I did this girl sitting in a chair. It took me over 12 hours. It's a lot of work. But, yeah, I do go back. I do change things. And I look at it. Oh, that color's not right. Or those legs are way too long. And it was. Her legs were so long. And the chair looked so so small with her legs. You know how long it took me just to get those legs? I'm serious. Some people are natural at it. I'm learning. I mean, now to do a set of nice legs on a girl, I'll be more, you know, prepared this time. But you gotta, you know, it's hard.
No, it's true. I mean, I don't do artwork myself. I mean, most of my stuff is kind of random, just doodles. But I have seen people do it, and I've talked to artists before, and it's like, yeah, you really, once you're into it full-fledged, and you don't ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, it's like, okay, yeah, draw legs, draw chest, draw arms, but it takes a lot of practice to get to the point where you're doing it without thinking.
Exactly. So if you were interviewing someone who's been an artist for a while, he's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, I sketch and then, and I'm done in an hour. And I, you know, but you're talking to Charles Day here, who is a budding artist who's still, you know, growing in his learning of the medium. But yeah. I can't say. But you know what? Now when I go to, like, I'm working on something. Like, see, I jump all over. Now I want to do a big superhero again, like a rock solid type of guy. It's been in my mind. So I'm going to start working on it tomorrow. But now when I approach it this time around, I can draw the head. I can draw the line, you know, like stick figures, the cylinders of the arms. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm getting better at that now. I'm getting better at the proportions. I can get through that faster now. You know what cool. I mean? So, yeah, that's the hardest part. Once you get the proportions and the figure, you know, where the head and the hip should be and everything's kind of in proportion, then you just do all the fill-ins, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start putting muscle tones in. So I like that, you know what I mean? That's the fun part.
It's like sketching out a plot for a story and then filling all the parts that make the story full.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So conventions is a big part of the marketing and everything else that people have to do for books and stories and all that stuff. You planning on doing a few?
Yeah, I have. I'll be at the as an author and as a publisher, I'll be at quite a feel as long as I can pay for them. But the big one is set in June. I'm going to be down in at the Stoker WHC conference in New Orleans.
Nice.
I have two speeches I got to prepare. One, I know, you know, I was grateful to be receiving the 2013 Silver Hammer Award from the HWA for doing extra work on volunteering, which I just did because I love doing the mentor program, but which I got to get back on that.
I was going to throw in some commentary and ask you about the HWA in general anyways, because some people listening may not actually know what the HWA is.
Oh, yeah, the Horror Writers Association. Yeah, great, great, great organization. Ever since I joined, I've been so happy with all the opportunities they help writers with. But so I'll be down there, and then of course if they shout my name out, Charles Day, you know, Legend of the Pumpkin Thief, I have to run up there for that. I'm not hopeful that I'm not sure. You know, I really don't think I'm gonna win. There's four other books that.
Will you squeal like a little schoolgirl if your name's called out?
Oh man, I don't know what I'm gonna. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be very nervous. But but I'll be there. I'm also going to be on two panels. One is going to be on publishing, and the other panel, that's the one I'm moderating. And the other panel I'm going to be doing is on young adult horror. I'll be sitting on a panel for that with Jonathan Mayberry and J.G. Farrer is moderating that. So that'll be fun. Then I'm going to Econ for my second time. I love it.
Nice.
Great bunch of people up there. I went last year for the first time because everyone kept saying, you got to go to Nikon. It's an experience of experiences. It's not your traditional. And they just took me in and just hugged me. I mean, it's just a great group of writers and friendly authors and writers. And of course, you've got some big names in there too. You've got some, you know, I don't need to mention them, but we all know who they are.
They're there.
Yeah, they're there. You're happy to see them too, and respectful that they're there. But they're friendly. They're approachable, and it's just a great, great, great event. And then after that, I'm going to head up to. I have. I forgot the Book Expo in May. I was going to be volunteering the booth at the New York City's Book Expo of America. It's a great, great place for writers and publishers. But I'll be up at Comic-Con in New York.
Awesome.
In October. Yeah. Going back there from with a couple of friends. I hope that we'll be able to have our Evil Jester Presents book ready by then.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we want to get it published by September, so we're hoping I can, you know, have it there in October. But of course, I'll be drooling and buying comics and trying to get into the Walking Dead panel. I couldn't get in. Jimmy and I were we waited on long lines out the door to get into that panel.
Nice. So we're actually wrapping up towards the end of the show. How is the best way for people to find you, follow you, friend you, stalk you, that sort of thing?
Oh, everyone knows I'm a Facebook fanatic, but and a social media butterfly, but that's where I am on Facebook. But they can also find me at my blog. I try and keep it updated. Charles Day, fictionwriter.blogspot.com. I know I need to get an author website eventually.
Oh, whatever works, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm not that type of guy. I mean, I love talking with everyone. You know what I mean? So I talk with a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, you can always find, you know, through Evil Jester Comics, Evil Jester Press, and things like that.
Cool. Well, last off, I want to say, I appreciate you coming out. Thanks for joining us on the show. I wish the best of luck to Evil Jester and press and comics and all that other fun stuff. I'll be watching, making sure you guys do some good stuff.
Yeah, I had a great time. It was really, really, really enjoyable talking with you and being on your program. And I look forward to coming back again. Absolutely.
And I hope you welcome with open arms my legions of zombies as they eventually unleash upon the planet.
All right. Absolutely.
Because you know we're coming.
I know you are.
Okay.
I'll be ready. Okay.
Well, lots of rotting success. Have fun and enjoy.
You too. Bye-bye now.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.